Max Licato said this in his book, God Came Near. He said, today is Father's Day, a day of cologne, a day of hugs, new neckties, long-distance phone calls, and Hallmark cards. Today is my first Father's Day without a father. For 31 years, I had one. I had one of the best. But now he's gone. He's buried under an oak tree in a West Texas cemetery. And even though he's gone, his presence is very near, especially today. It seems strange that he isn't here. I guess that's because he was never gone. He was always close by, always available, always present. His words were nothing novel. His achievements, though admirable, were nothing extraordinary. But his presence was. Like a warm fireplace in a large house, he was a source of comfort. Like a sturdy porch swing or a big branched elm in the backyard, he could always be found and leaned upon. During the turbulent years of my adolescence, Dad was the one part of my life that was predictable. Girlfriends came and girlfriends went, but Dad was there. Football season turned into baseball season, turned into football season again, and Dad was always there. Summer vacation, homecoming dates, algebra, first car, driveway basketball, they had one thing in common, his presence. And because he was there, life went smoothly. The car always ran, the bills got paid, and the lawn stayed mowed. Because he was there, the laughter was fresh and the future was secure. Because he was there, my growing up was what God intended growing up to be. A storybook scamper through the magic and mystery of the world. Because he was there, we kids never worried about things like income tax and savings accounts, monthly bills or mortgages. Those were the things on Daddy's desk. We have lots of family pictures without him. Not because he wasn't there, but because he was always behind the camera. He made the decisions, broke up the fights, chuckled at Archie Bunker, read the paper every evening, and fixed breakfast on Sundays. He didn't do anything unusual. He only did what dads are supposed to do, be there. He taught me how to shave and how to pray. He helped me memorize verses for Sunday school, taught me that wrong should be punished and that rightness has its own reward. He modeled the importance of getting up early and staying out of debt. His life expressed the elusive balance between ambition and self-acceptance. He comes to mind often. You see, Max Licato recognized the responsibilities of his late great father and the spiritual influence that he offered him. Fathers, today we are being honored, but we are also being reminded that we have responsibilities, dad to-dos, if you will ultimately impact and shape our families. Someone once said that the best inheritance a father can leave his children is a good example. And the measure of a man's character is not what he gets from his ancestors, but rather what he leaves his descendants. Dads, you're here today. And what that means is that if we have not left our descendants, then fathers, what are we doing for and what are we giving our descendants? What are our dad to-dos? Lee Iacocca, former chairman of the Chrysler Corporation, spent his evenings and Sundays at home with the family when he was in town. He felt that his job took up enough time without us having to shortchange his children. Iacocca stated, of all the jobs I have had in my life, none has been more important to me than my job as a dad. I've always felt that when I die, if I can say I've done well by my family, then I've lived a full and good life, end quote. So fathers, don't our dad-to-dos and our implied responsibilities have everything to do with the actual faith and growth of our families? What are we as dads to do? Now, if we can answer this question, and I think we'll try, we will do this. First and foremost, we will make sure that God is first. Dads, we will look at God and say, in our families, God will always come first. Today, we need this kind of thinking. Today, dads, we need this kind of doing. Fathers, we must first establish the sovereignty of our Heavenly Father. And that simply means, dads, that we are not omnipotent, but rather, He is. God told Abraham in Genesis 17, verse 1, He says, I am the Almighty. obey me and live as you should. Paul said in Romans 11, 36, he says, for everything comes from God alone. Everything lives by his power. Everything lives by his glory. What does omnipotent mean? It means that our Almighty, our God who lives in sovereignty, our God who is our priority, is all powerful. And when our kids come to us and say, Dad, you're the strongest man I've ever met, you can say, you know what? God is stronger. God is bigger. God is better. Godly Christian fathers will yield to their heavenly Father, and they will always proclaim his omnipotence. Fathers, we are neither omnipotent nor are we omniscient. We don't know everything, but he does. Psalm 147, 5, how great he is, his power is absolute, his understanding is unlimited. Paul said in Romans 11, 33 and 34, he says, how great are his wisdom and knowledge and riches, for who among us can know the mind of the Lord? Christian fathers, we must submit to this kind of omniscience. Our heavenly Father's all-knowing presence. This is what God is, and this is what God has. And then lastly, number three, fathers, you know this, we are not and we will never be omnipresent. If you say, what in the world is that word? Omnipresent means that we, fathers, cannot be everywhere. I used to believe my dad was. And every single time I messed up, I felt like he was probably down the road, staring out of a house, following me in a car. I figured he saw everything I did, only to learn later that he did not. But he does enjoy the stories today. We're not omnipresent. We can't be everywhere. And dads, when you think about your children, when they go everywhere, don't you feel a little more comfortable knowing that God is with them at all times and everywhere? Psalm 139, 7 says this, I can never get away from my God. And fathers, when we can't be everywhere, our Heavenly Father already is. Now, why do we talk about this and list these three godly attributes? Because God's holy sovereignty helps us fathers understand our family responsibilities. And fathers, this understanding of who God is guides and leads what a Christian dad does. In essence, fathers, he is what we aren't. He does what we can't. He is where we will never be. Fathers, this is something that we all have to realize today. If you leave this church today, dads, and you say, what is a dad to do? Let me tell you, the first dad to do is to do this. Establish God's sovereignty and make God your priority. If we do nothing else today, if you don't eat any special meal today, if you don't even open a gift today, but you establish God's sovereignty and you make God your priority and you share this with your family, I can assure you this, it'll be the greatest Father's Day you have ever experienced. Fathers, what have we taught our kids? We have, as John 1:12 tells us, we have welcomed and received Jesus. We have trusted Jesus to save us. And Christian fathers, if we have done this, then here's where it gets really good. We become what are called children of God. Now that sounds strange, fathers, because we ultimately feel like we are the leaders. We're the drivers. We're the doers. But in essence, when we say, God, I love you and I will follow your son, here's what happens, fathers. We once again become children of our sovereign, almighty, and living God. This is what we fathers should strive for. We want to be those children. We want our Heavenly Father and our God. Paul said in Galatians 3:26, we are all children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Romans 8:14, he says, all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Christian fathers, we have a Heavenly Father, and his sovereignty allows us to do and fulfill our responsibilities. You've heard the saying, like father, like son. I can remember that terminology being thrown out at my dad and I a few times. Sometimes I think it was good, other times probably not so good. But when I look at this and I see, when I hear that saying, like father, like son, I think maybe we want to tweak it a little bit today, especially on this Father's Day. I think we want to say something like this, like Father, like Heavenly Father, like Son, like God's Son, we fathers, when we believe in Jesus Christ and when we establish His sovereignty, when we make Him our Almighty, we then become children. This, fathers, is what we strive to do today. Like father, like son. J.B. Phillips says this, as children copy their fathers, you, as God's children, are to copy Him. Now, Jesus did this. Jesus said in John 12, verse 50, He says, whatever He, God, tells me to say, I say. Does it end there? John 8, 28, Jesus says, the Son can do nothing, or I have spoken what the Father taught me. And then finally, in John 5, 19, Jesus says, the Son can do nothing by Himself. He does only what He sees the Father doing. And in the same way, and folks, if Jesus is our Savior, Jesus then becomes our example. And fathers, if we say, I want to be like Jesus, you know what happens? Then the family becomes like us. You see, if we say, I'm going to live for my Savior, I'm going to live for my Heavenly Father, then here's what's neat. Our sons and daughters, they copy the attributes. They copy the biblical examples. They copy every single facet of our Heavenly Father and Savior. And if we do this, fathers, we can't mess up. You see, if we can lean on our Heavenly Father and say, you're the perfect one, the omnipotent one, the omnipresent one, the omniscient one, we're not those ones. You see, that humility and that leadership will impact our families. Fathers, this is the kind of thing that we should strive for today. The question is, do we want this? You see, Jesus' to-dos come from what His Father said and did. Christian fathers, how can our dad-to-dos be any different? Shouldn't we be doing what our Savior and our Heavenly Father have already done? Like Heavenly Father, like God's Son, we are His children. Paul said in Ephesians 5, verse 1, he says, follow God's example in everything you do, just as a much-loved child imitates his father. Christian fathers, are we willing to do what God has called us to do? We're going to look at our sermon text today. We're going to go all the way back. This is back, we're going to say probably somewhere around 1500 to 1200 BC. We are now in a time where we're recapping or reliving the law. Moses is giving instruction to the Israelites, but you can't help but notice that maybe, just maybe, he's talking to dads. And so dad, as Moses shares these words, apply these words to all of us today. Here's what he says. Moses says, the Lord your God told me, Israelites, to give you all these commandments which you are to obey in the land you will soon be entering, where you will live. The purpose of these laws is to cause you, dads, your sons, and your grandsons to reverence the Lord your God by obeying all of His instructions as long as you live. Here comes your key word. Moses says, if you do, you will have long, prosperous years ahead of you. Therefore, O Israel, listen closely to each command and be careful to obey it so that all will go well with you and so that you will have many children. If you obey these commands, you will become a great nation and a glorious land flowing with milk and honey, even as the God of your fathers promised you. O Israel, listen. Jehovah is our God, Jehovah alone. You must love Him with all of your heart, soul, and might. And you must think constantly about these commandments I am giving you today. Now listen to verse 7. Moses says, you must teach them to your children and talk about them when you're at home or out for a walk, at bedtime, and the first thing in the morning. Tie them on your finger, wear them on your forehead, write them on the doorposts of your house. Fathers, that's a lot of responsibility that we are called to share with our family. The words that happened that many years ago still apply today. We have an incredible responsibility. And so, Christian fathers, The Illustrated Dictionary of the Bible tells us dads that we have three things that our Old Testament fathers did and that today's Christian fathers must do. These, dads, are our dad to do's. Let's start. Number one and first, we have to our family a spiritual responsibility. If we have established God as our Almighty, if we have proclaimed His sovereignty, if we have said He is our priority, then here's what happens. We will then assume this first responsibility. We will say today, starting today, I will make sure that I fulfill in my home my spiritual responsibility. It'll take precedence over everything. It will be for my family the most important thing. You know, Job did this. Many people remember Job as the guy who suffered and struggled, and then obviously everything was revealed at the end, but most people forget what Job did before he was stricken. Let's read this. This is Job chapter 1. These are verses 4 and 5. Listen to what Job did, and just listen to how great of a dad Job really was. It says, "For every year when Job's sons had birthdays, they invited their brothers and sisters to their homes for a celebration. On these occasions, they would eat and drink with great merriment. When these birthday parties ended, and sometimes they lasted several days, Job would summon his children to him and sanctify them, getting up early in the morning and offering a burnt offering for each of them. For Job said, 'Perhaps my sons have sinned and turned away from God in their hearts.' This was Job's regular practice." No wonder God loved him so much. No wonder God respected him that much. Christian fathers, when you became Christian fathers, you became, like Job, Christian leaders, Christian teachers, and Christian doers. Now, some of you might say, "I didn't sign up for that. They didn't give me a manual on that." And I can say this, you did sign up for that. When you said, "I believe in Jesus," you signed on the dotted line, that proverbial dotted line, and said, "I will live for Jesus." You said, "I didn't get a manual," I say, "You got a Bible." And so, dads, when you say that He's going to be my spiritual priority because my family is my responsibility, I will tell you this, you've got the manual, and you have got the ultimate example in God Almighty. Job knew it. Let me ask you, fathers, where have we led? What have we taught? What have we done? How much have we loved? You see, our dad-to-dos are a myriad of responsibilities before our families, and first and foremost, they are spiritual. Christian fathers, our spiritual leadership will be defined by our godly relationship. If we say He's the Almighty, He's my priority because I know and love His sovereignty, here's what you've said. I'm going to change the relationships within my family. They're going to change. My house, my home will change. No longer am I going to be the head of the house, but God Almighty will be the head of the house, and I'll just follow His leadership. And that's how we're going to build stronger relationships. That's the spiritual responsibility. Dads, are you willing to assume it? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, he says, "You should follow my example just as I follow Christ." So what do we know about Jesus Christ? Well, here's one thing we know. We know that He perfectly and responsibly followed His Father. Can we do the same thing? Let's move on. What are we teaching? And to whom was it taught? Are we teaching from the Word, or are we teaching from the world? You see, dads, a lot of us can share wisdom, worldly wisdom, but it's the special ones, the chosen ones, the elected ones, God's children, who will share this word's wisdom. And in everything we do and in everything we say, when we teach and we lead and we reach out to our children, we will lead with this word. We will not lead by the world. The world will lead astray. God's word will lead our children in the right way to bring them closer to Jesus Christ. Proverbs 22:6 says this, "Teach a child to choose the right path, and when he is older, he will remain upon it." Those are not words from the world. Those are words from the Word. John Phillips once said, "The spiritual education of children is a parental responsibility. Are we willing to assume that responsibility? Let's move on. Fathers, Christian fathers, what are we doing? What are we doing? Hebrews 12, 7, let God train you, for he is doing what any loving father does for his children. How are we loving fathers? Is it with loving discipline? Ephesians 6, verse 4 teaches us how to do it. Christian fathers, our spiritual fatherly responsibility, our dad to-dos, yield to God's sovereignty, and they center on leading and teaching and doing, and especially loving him because we are his children. So are we doing these? Dads, are we willing to do these? You see, that's a lot of responsibilities. A lot of dads would say, I got my plate full already. You've seen what I got to do. I got to pay the bills. I got to earn a living. I got to take care of everything that goes on in my household. And I can tell you this, the only thing that goes on in your household is what God deems appropriate to go on in your household. Make God the sovereign, almighty priority. Let him control your household. And when he controls your household, you will have a better hold on your house. That I promise. Are we willing to do this? You see, Old Testament fathers had three specific things to do. First, as we find out here, they had spiritual responsibilities to their families, but they also had social responsibilities and financial responsibilities as well. Now, clearly, the spiritual responsibility and follow-through define the success that would be felt in the social and financial capabilities of these fathers' families. In essence, if we do it right spiritually, usually and generally, our families will be impacted positively both socially and financially. But if we mess up the order, fathers, if we say, I'm not sure that I have a spiritual responsibility, yeah, I get it, I got to teach my kids, I got to teach them how to be socially responsible and financially responsible, but if we leave out the spiritual, dads, our families are in trouble. They're just in trouble. See, in this passage, we find out that the fathers didn't do the right things. And if the fathers don't do the right things spiritually for their families, then likely they're going to struggle socially and financially too. This was seen in Malachi 1:6 and 2:10, where after the Israelites returned from Babylonian exile to their homeland, which by the way was in shambles, God through Malachi says this to the people. And before I get there, let me just create a scenario. We have a hard time imagining this. Literally, when it comes to Babylonian exile, we don't get it. We talk about it. Some people have read it, but we don't really understand it. So let me give you an example of what would happen. Can you imagine if we in Bloomington, Illinois, or surrounding communities were invaded by a foreign country? They came in. They either killed us or they enslaved us, but they took us captive and they moved us to their country. And for 50 years, you would leave everything behind. You'll take nothing with you. You're going with them, and you're going to spend the next 50 years with them. You will be enslaved. You will be beaten. You will be treated mercilessly. You will be treated like an animal. And then another leader, ruler, comes along, and he says, we're going to free all of you Bloomingtonites. We're going to let you come home. But when you come home, you realize that everything's gone. Your home's gone. Your church is gone. Everything that you knew is gone. Now, my question is, how would you feel? You see, just the thought of it, when we can put it into today's terms, we realize just how blessed we are, and we realize how much in trouble they were. So they come home from Babylonian exile. Most of them have lost their family members. Some come home and realize that they have no home. It's gone. And here's the words that are said. God says in Malachi 1 verse 6, he says, a son honors his father, a servant honors his master. God says, I am your father and master, and yet you don't honor me. Then he goes on in Malachi 2:10. We hear Malachi say this. He says, we are children of the same father, Abraham, all created by the same God, and yet we are faithless to each other, violating, here it comes, violating the covenant of our fathers. You know what Malachi said? He said, we blew it. We didn't do it. I mean, our fathers told us not to do it. Moses warned us not to do it, and we did it. And that's why we are where we are. some dad or some dads somewhere in that time frame stopped doing what God had called them to do, and they were done. Now, haven't we done the same thing? I mean, if you look at the landscape in your own home, maybe family's homes, maybe friends' homes, haven't we done the same thing? Haven't we, we've literally changed the entire focus. No longer is it spiritual, it might be social, it may be financial. No longer is God the Almighty. No longer is He the priority. No longer do we establish His sovereignty. But rather we say something like this. We say we don't need Him, we don't want Him. Maybe we've forgotten about Him. And then you look at your home and you say, what happened to it? What happened to it? Who destroyed it? How did it turn into this? You know, Moses in Deuteronomy 6:1-9 is reminding these fathers faithfully, approximately, and sadly, 1,000 years later, the Israelites are nearly ruined because they didn't do what God told them to do responsibly. What is our dad to do? Here's what it is. It's to do what God did. It's to do what God said. Regarding our dad to do, if dads, if we don't, if we say, God's not sovereign, I am. God's not all powerful, all seeing, and all knowing, I am. God's word is not the source to lead and teach and do, I am. And I have no responsibility, dads, when we say something like this, I have no responsibility to my family. Rather, my wife does. The school does. The church that I might attend occasionally does. The world does. And if this happens, fathers, our families are done. They're done. And if you look around today and you say, what has happened to us? Let me tell you what's happened to us. We forgot about Jesus. No longer is it like father, like son, we are children. That's what's happened to us. Now, we're not too far gone. We're not all the way done. See, we can change this. We can do something about this. But it starts in our own households. Because we got to allow God to have hold of our houses. We got to give Him control over our houses. Fathers, it is time for us to be the leaders that these Old Testament examples once were. We got to be strong men, powerful men, men like Moses, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Men who knew their Heavenly Father. Men who said, I will be a father. And men who lived up to their responsibilities and said, I love my family. And I'll fight for it and I'll love it and I'll care about it. And nobody will stop me from doing it. This is what we are called to do today. Today we see so many things happening around us. I read Matthew 10, 34 through 39. It's a powerful passage. If you read it, it's powerful. It's almost a prophecy that Jesus shares with us, especially fathers. And in that passage, Matthew 10, 34 through 39, Jesus kind of talks about what's coming. Folks, it has already come. It is here and it is in our homes. It was a prophecy by Jesus, and more we're seeing this, where fathers are against sons, where mothers are against daughters, where we are seeing families that are broken, no longer joined together. Broken homes. Because the dad to do's never were done. Dads, what then are our to do's? You know, if you go out on the street, put a microphone up in front of someone with a light shining down and said, what is your dad to do? They may say, that's kind of a clever thing. I never thought about it. What is my dad to do? Here's what they might say. Fix what is broken. My dad was amazing. He could fix anything. I broke a lot of things. He fixed them all. The only thing he couldn't fix was a tractor I wrecked. Fortunately, he had a good relationship with the dealership. Fix what is broken, right? Some would say that. Some dads would say that. What else? How about this one? Attend the game in which my son or daughter is participating. How about this one? Earn a living. Dads, you might say, stay out of trouble. Put food on the table. But dads, how many dads would say, my job, my responsibility to my family is to learn His Word, to know the Bible, to teach from His Word, to lead my family in the ways of the Bible. Sadly, we might never consider the most important dad to do's, the most pertinent fatherly, spiritual, social, financial, biblical responsibilities, the very words from Scripture that teach us fathers to make Jesus our Lord and Savior, which makes us children of our Heavenly Father. And when this happens, fathers, our to-dos will be done differently and more responsibly. The question is this: do you want this for your family? You ever thought about that? What do I want? What do I want for my family? I can look at my girls' eyes and I can tell them this. There are a lot of attributes I never want them to follow from what I do. They saw it yesterday. We worked outside. There were a few bad moments. Jillian's very patient. I threw two tools. I kicked two things. And ultimately, really, at times, just made a fool of myself. I'm struggling. I'm still a work in progress, folks. Praise God for Jesus. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. As a struggling earthly father, man, do am I happy that I got the perfect heavenly father. Praise God for that. And so with that said, we have a responsibility. The question is, do we want this for our families? I do. Because if we do, fathers, we will live and we will lead by spiritual, biblical example, following Jesus' example, who lived and loved according to his Father's will. We will lead and teach and do what God's word says, and we will not do or say what the world does. We will show our children how to live spiritually, socially, financially, and biblically like Jesus and those great examples after him and before him did. And our families will subsequently be blessed because we did. So who will and what will shape our sons and daughters? Who will and what will determine our family's eternity? Fathers, let us unite today and say, we will. Fathers, let us be content today to know that when we depart this earth, and we will depart this earth, we will know that our God-given dad to-dos have all been done. Fathers, Christian fathers, you exemplary Christian fathers, we have a lot to do. Let us start today on this Father's Day, which could more aptly be called Heavenly Father's Day. Let us be responsible and let us make God a priority. Let us make him our sovereign, our leader. Let us say today, we will be the children of our Heavenly Father. Take a look.
A dad is someone who provides. A dad is someone who leads. A dad is someone who covers them every single day. One of the things that we always miss is, you know, a dad is someone who loves their mother the right way, that shows that love. A dad is someone who whose action shows what a dad is, not their words. A dad to me is a leader. Dad is someone who creates a safe environment for their children, their wife, in their home and in their heart, so they can grow up and walk within their purpose.
A father is someone who is present at all times, even in the moments you think they're not. They may not be home, but they're present. Their presence is felt in the house. Their leadership is felt in the house. Their love is felt in the house.
Fathers, what are we willing to do? Our Heavenly Father, this is your day. Not just Father's Day, but Heavenly Father's Day. A day in which we dads say, we will do what you want us to do. We will establish your sovereignty. We will make you in our homes our and their priority. And we will call you our Almighty. And I pray today that you would help us to see the spiritual responsibility that we have before our families. And I pray that we will fulfill them according to your will. I thank you for this day, and I thank you for the time of worship that we are able to enjoy. I thank you, and I thank you for the opportunities to sing to you and to pray to you, to talk to you, to read your word, to learn from your word, and to fellowship with each other. Today I pray that we, together as a congregation, that we would say that we want to love you more, that we want to do more, that we want to care about you and our fellow man more, and that we want to draw closer to you each and every day. Make us disciples, we pray. Make us leaders. This world needs Christian leaders. And I pray today that we will accept this responsibility accordingly. I thank you that you care about all of these names that are on our bulletin, and they're important to us. Some we don't even know. But we know that somebody does. And we know that there are people that love them and that are praying for them. And so we join with them today. We lift up these individuals who are hurting. We pray for healing and restoration. We pray that a message would be sent and that these individuals would know that you are with them and that you still love them. And I thank you that we can call upon you even in our weakest state. Thank you for this day today. Thank you for a time of worship. And thank you for every father that gathers here. They have said, today by coming, God Almighty is my priority. And I praise you for that. Help us today to grow in our faith. And I pray today that we will center our lives on your word and not the things of this world. We praise you and thank you for everything. It's in Jesus' holy name that we pray today. Amen. I feel like I've been saying, like, every week, this has been a rough week. Let me tell you something that happened. And again, I promise to leave on a high note, but this is not going to feel like a high note. We're from here. We don't see a lot of things that go on in and around the area. But down in Pena, Illinois, many of you might have heard of this. Down in Pena, Illinois, there was a group of five people that went to a church ice cream social. The reason I know about this is that we have a funeral home in Pena, Illinois. And I was at the funeral home when the call came in. Five elderly people at an ice cream social, spending time together at the church, enjoying themselves. A parade of cars left the ice cream social, went over the railroad tracks. All of them made it except one. A car full of five elderly people were hit by a freight train, killed instantly. We had some of them at our funeral home. I went down and spent time with them and just stayed with them. Felt like that was what I had to do. It was difficult. To make the story even more difficult, the first officer who was on the scene was the grandson. The grandson. His grandparents were the ones that were killed in the automobile. Now, we were talking about this. We're trying to get perspective on this. And then I realized something. It was my friend who said it, Christian friend that I get to work with every day. And she said, Chad, do you realize this, though? Do you realize that they went from earth to eternity? All five of them in the car together, earth to eternity, that quickly. Now, it's amazing when you think about, but it's even more so amazing to think about the fact that today they are holding church services in Pena to remember these five people, because these five people were always at the church. Now, here's what's neat. What's neat is these men that were in that car were revered as great fathers, wonderful grandfathers, who today are living with their Heavenly Father. We don't know when it happens, folks. We just don't. I'm in an industry where you don't know where it happens or when it happens or how it happens. But be ready for it when it does happen. Fathers, we have a responsibility to our families. Let's lead our families to Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for making it clear today who you are. We thank you for allowing us to say you are our Almighty. We thank you for allowing us to establish your sovereignty today in this church. And today, I pray that us fathers would accept our responsibility. Make us biblical, spiritual leaders and teachers. And I pray today that we will love and care for our sons and daughters. Thank you for making us your children. And I pray today that you will go with us and help us to impact those people around us. We thank you for every opportunity that you give us, but especially the opportunity to call you Father. It's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen. Have a great week, everyone.